Meet the Low Carbon Pioneers.
Hi, I'm Tom Parsons. I work with Air BP, which is BP's aviation fuel marketing business. And my role is the commercial development manager for Biojet. BP Biojet is a program that was accredited under BP's Advancing Low Carbon program. And what we're doing is supplying renewable jet fuel into airports in Sweden and Norway. And that's reducing the carbon of that fuel by over 60%.
Could you give us a brief introduction to the BP Biojet project?
Absolutely. So the BP Biojet project is focused around Sweden and Norway, and we're supplying renewable jet fuel into airports in that region. That biojet is produced from recycled cooking oil, and it's been refined to produce a high-quality jet fuel product from that renewable source that then gets blended with the conventional jet fuel and supplied into the airport through the existing regular supply infrastructure.
And you're a chemist, is that right?
That's right, yeah.
And how did you get into chemistry? Can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Absolutely. So chemistry became my favourite subject at school. It was around the end of GCSE time, going towards A-levels. That was what really stood out for me as my favourite subject. At that point, it was organic chemistry, and the reactions and the mechanisms were really fascinating. And I'd love to kind of almost picture, sort of imagine the electrons flowing around. I love the logic of all of that flow. And so that was one of my A-level subjects, and I continued to enjoy that through university. So through the A-level period. So when I was looking at university options, chemistry was a very clear preferred choice for me.
And now, of course, you work at BP. You have a chance to use that chemistry to make a big impact. Was that something that you always hoped to do?
Honestly, that came later, actually. At that point, when I was choosing chemistry for my degree, it was simply the passion. I just wanted to go and learn more, and I knew that that was something that I was quite good at, and that honestly, that's part of it for me as well. So the interest and the ability to do well at it was what led me forward. So I didn't really have clear thoughts about where I wanted to go at that stage. When I came to the end of my undergraduate degree, I still didn't really have a very clear thought about what I wanted to do. I was fortunate to be able to do a PhD, stayed on to do that. That was in inorganic chemistry. And then it was at the point that I was looking around just towards the end of my PhD, thinking, what would I actually like to do with my career? And I started thinking about the energy industry, the challenge faced by society around climate change, the impact of carbon dioxide. And it felt really motivating and inspiring to go and work in that sector. And looking around at the time, BP really stood out as a company that was sort of motivated to do something about this. They'd acknowledged the risks around climate change already 10 years before that point. So it seemed like a good fit. Joined BP, started in a research role, did that for 3 years. But then since then, I've gone increasingly towards the commercial side. So I've been able to draw on that technical background, but apply it into a more commercial environment.
And what different groups of people do you need to work with or persuade to get Biojet in an airport, for example? I mean, if you just turn up and say, hey, we've got some recycled cooking oil in the back of the van here. Can we put it in your planes? What kind of reaction do you get, and how do you work with people through that?
Yeah, the first reaction when people haven't come across this before is always one of concern, should we say, in polite terms. It's something that we've been through several times now, so we understand what concerns people have, and we're quite well versed in explaining why that's not something that is necessarily cause for concern. But that comes from really explaining clearly what the product is, that actually from chemical perspective, it's no different to conventional jet fuel. It blends in with no issues, and it has no detrimental impact on the operation of the plane or any of the other infrastructure that that the product touches on its way from the production plant through to the plane. So that would include the terminal where it's blended, ensuring that all the other operators within the terminal, all the other fuel companies within the terminal, that they understand where they need to, what's happening, and ensuring that if there was to be any impact on their operations, that wouldn't be an issue for them. And then, yeah, through the pipeline, if it's going through pipelines, everyone else through that chain. When we're supplying into the hydrant system, which is how the fuel in most large airports is supplied, so it goes through an underground piping system and then is connected to the plane through a mobile truck to actually carry out the fueling. When we've put Biojet into that hydrant system, effectively a small amount is going to every plane at the airport. It's still jet fuel and within all the usual specifications, so nobody has any cause for concern. But we tend to let people know that it's happening just so that they're aware. And when we start to, with our customers, make announcements that people aren't sort of caught unawares and raise those concerns at a point that's too late, really. So we try to be proactive, make sure everybody's comfortable. And it's a great story, right? Everybody within the industry is committed to that and wants to play their part. It's just simply a question of information, just making sure people understand what's really happening. And they all buy in.
And how do passengers react when they're told that their planes have cooking oil in them? Is it a positive reaction? Do we even know what passengers think?
So actually most people are unaware that there's already a significant amount of biofuels within our petrol, and so in most countries in Europe, people are already driving around on 6-7% biofuel within the conventional fuel that we use. Aviation is just starting out on that same journey, but it's becoming much more of a conversation within the industry. Whereas in passenger car space, it's been more of a sort of silent operation mode. And I think what that really reflects in aviation is just how important the industry sees this and how critical it is to find ways to decarbonize that industry as it looks to grow significantly over the next 40, 50 years without having a really detrimental impact on the environment.
So passengers in Nordic countries that can get on planes already with Biojet, they seem to be reacting positively, but are there higher costs involved in flying this way?
There is, yeah. So the cost of the Biojet is higher than the fossil fuel equivalent. And that's a combination of two factors. That's partly because the feedstocks to produce it are more expensive, and that's partly due to supply, there's just less of it around. But when we look at agricultural feedstocks, things that we grow, that costs more than it does to extract and supply oil. The other side to that point, though, is the scale of production. And so the refining industry happens at really massive scale, and therefore the relative cost of those assets is quite low. And you can operate those very efficiently. Biofuels are still being produced at relatively smaller scale, and so they don't enjoy quite the same benefit of what's called economies of scale. Over time, there will be opportunities to produce biofuels at greater scale, so you will address that some of the cost of production disparity. I think, though, even as you look very long term, will likely find that the overall cost of production, because of that feedstock cost, will be higher than fossil fuel equivalents in the absence of a carbon price or some way to recognise the greater impact that the fossil fuels have on the environment compared to biofuels. So a great way to address that is to apply a carbon price across all sectors that recognises the impact of that on the environment. And once you apply that, then we would expect that biofuels in general become competitive with fossil fuels.
But does this mean to a certain extent, at least, flying is going to have to get more expensive, and that's not necessarily a bad thing?
That may well be how it plays out. I mean, the cost of fuel isn't all of the cost of the ticket. It's less than a half of the cost of the ticket, so it will be diluted, the impact of that on the fuel, and you know, and the cost of that will come down over time. But that being said, it is right, I guess, as a society that we recognise the impacts of what we do, and that there is a cost involved in order to mitigate that impact. So I think that's just something that customers will get more comfortable with over time, and we've seen that is playing out already in the Nordics, that customers are saying, yes, I recognise the impact that my choices are having, and I'll pay in order to mitigate that impact. I should note that it's a small sector at the moment within there that has actually stumped up to pay for it, but I think that is growing, and the consumer research that's been completed recently is showing that is a growing trend within that, at least within that part of the world. I'd expect that to then spread more widely over time.
And how does that actually work, though? Do you, when you're buying a ticket for one of these airlines or at one of these airports, are you offered a different option? And it would be a different plane. You can go on a Biojet plane or a normal plane.
Great question. So it's you select in the same way as you would have selected the offset, the sort of indirect, if you like, offsetting option before. It's another checkbox that you'd click. That doesn't lead you to a different plane, though. It just what the airline then commits to do is to use that money to buy Biojet to put into its operations within a particular period of time. So it won't necessarily mean you have Biojet on your flight, at least as things begin and scale up, but it does mean that you will be putting that fuel into the system and therefore having that direct impact on the sectoral emissions that you want to have.
Is this in any way, you know, more than just a job? Do you sort of feel this is something that you're, you know, quite happy and excited to be working on?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's really motivating to be coming to work to do things that I see the direct impact of and that I really feel the importance of, and see an industry as a whole acknowledge the importance of. So if I'd gone back 10 years when I was joining BP and somebody had asked me, do you think you'll go and work in aviation fuel, I would have probably said no. I'm not sure that I would. It's not that big a part of what BP does, but it is really an exciting place to be right now, because this industry has a big challenge to face, and I really feel that Air BP and the partners that we're working with are right at the inflection point of this new solution to reduce the carbon in aviation. So it is something that's really motivating, and it definitely more than a job.
So, I mean, having Biojet used in any planes at all is, you know, quite a leap from where we were a few years ago. But still, it's two airports, am I right, that it's been using, they're using it at the moment? Three airports. Obviously, to have a real impact that's going to, you know, make a difference globally, then we need to get that, you know, in every airport, every plane. What... Just saying that makes it sound like an enormous challenge. Can you give us a sense of what it's going to take to get there?
Yeah, challenge is the right word. So, I mean, the biggest thing to unlock this opportunity is really on the feedstock supply side. As you stand today, all the biofuels produced in the world, just if you think about not just for aviation, but for regular transport in cars and trucks, that would only represent, you know, less than a percent of what we need to fuel aviation, let alone the rest of the system. So to get all of that feedstock available is really the big challenge, and that needs a lot of work and multiple options. To give a sense of what we're working on, so there's the used cooking oil that we talk about with the Biojet offer in Norway and Sweden, but we're also working with a company called Fulcrum Bioenergy that work with solid waste, so what would otherwise be put into landfill, and we've worked in the past with a crop called camelina that is a more sustainable option, and there's lots of other things coming forward and looking into the future. Options like algae may come into play, and using excess renewable power and converting that into liquids as well. So we'll need all of that. But once you have that supply, then there's still some challenge remaining in terms of how you best optimize that and supplying it into the airports. What's tended to be a challenge for biofuels so far is that it, as I say, it happens at smaller scale, that you don't have quite the same concentration of production. So you need to work harder to optimize the logistics around that and aggregate those sources of supply into the airport. So that will be something that needs to evolve over time to try and ensure that remains efficient and therefore competitive.
Say we get to where we want to be. We have planes around the world using biofuels. How much of that fuel will come from recycled cooking oil versus biofuel grown expressly for the purpose in fields or crops?
So the recycled cooking oil over the very long term is likely to be quite a small proportion of that. Hard to put a good number on that. But because it's a waste, it's not going to grow other than to the extent that people want to eat more fish and chips, I suppose. But it will play a decreasing role over time. I mean, what's really interesting about it as a feedstock is that it solves a waste problem today. And it's relatively easy to convert that into the fuel. Some of the other feedstocks need a lot more work, particularly when you start with a solid, either actual solid waste that we have that we throw away, or waste wood. You need to work harder to get that into a usable liquid form with the same quality as regular jet fuel. So used cooking oil is a great place to start, but as I say, it will play effectively a decreasing percentage role over time.
I mean, do you ever feel overwhelmed by the in spite of the successes, the scale of the challenge is enormous? How do you stay motivated when you sort of think like that?
Great question. It is a really massive challenge. So I think all you can do is say, well, we'll take one step at a time. In order to create the opportunity for the sector to grow, you have to do these smaller things, these one-off opportunities, working with the few suppliers that are there today to try and create the platform, I guess. So I see a lot of what we're doing at the moment is really creating that platform for growth, bringing stakeholders along, demonstrating that this is something that really works. And it's also a lot about the opportunity for a conversation with the passengers, the end users of this, that really can help plant the seeds for this for the future. So I completely get where you're coming from, that it is an absolutely colossal challenge, and who knows if we'll get there. But I think some of the things that we're doing today are making a difference, and when you scale them up, can make a material impact.
By the 2040s, you care to make a prediction how many planes might be using biofuel?
In the 2040s, So for us to be on track, then we'd need to be at almost all planes, actually, at that point.
To some extent, to be on track for?
For the kind of level of reduction that the industry is looking for. So the industry's targeting a 50% reduction in emissions compared to 2005 in 2050. If they did nothing to reduce impact, then they would have doubled in that period. So it's almost like a third of what the underlying impact would be. That could lead you to be something like 30% of all jet fuel being renewable, which therefore starts to touch almost everywhere. Around the late 2040s, that's hopefully where we'll be, that it's almost ubiquitous.
Super. Well, thank you. Good luck. And I think I say that on behalf of everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. For more details on BP's Advancing Low Carbon Programme and BP Biojet, go to bp.com/biojet.